What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that fucked up. My head was full of velocities and fuel calculations and a million different... I fucked up! Alright, people do shit, get stressed and fuck up. I fucked up!
My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, and you?
I too am well.
Brilliant to hear it.
Now you've even heard from that little opening salvo.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
We're going to be talking about... 2007 Sunshine, directed by Danny Boyle, starring Cillian Murphy, Rose Byrne.
Doesn't need an intake of breath that deep.
Well, it's an all-star cast, my friend.
Sorry,
that
keep
have, have all popped since then. Michelle Yeoh.
Keep going, don't breathe in.
Oh, Cliff Curtis, Chris Evans, Mark Strong,
he doesn't
Benedict know. Wong.
These people don't need to be mentioned.
These are all part of the MCU, my friend.
Oh, are they?
Benedict Wong is, of course, the Sorcerer Supreme, replacing Doctor Strange.
Sorcerer Supreme.
He is the Sorcerer Supreme, Andy.
Okay.
Okay, care to take a stab at the budget for this movie?
2007, I get the impression that it wasn't a particularly high budget, although it looked it. 30 mil.
23 mil. Close, and you're right on the money. They were able to make it look very expensive because they took their time. Note to all studios.
Yeah.
You can stretch your money if you take about a year to do it. Box office opening?
Ooh, 10 million.
1.2 million. Now, here's the thing. This movie's actual opening weekend... was only opened on 10 screens in
the US. You could have told me that before.
No, but that was 200,000 or something. So I didn't even get it. When it went to 400 and something screens, it was 1.2 million. Fox are idiots.
Why wouldn't they just... Like, surely it's... Like,
it's not
does it cost money to make it available in 1,000 cinemas rather than 200? You know what I mean? Like, why would they choose to have less... people buying tickets
I don't understand that. It's a Fox Searchlight Pictures,
yeah,
which is their kind of indie label. I don't understand this rollout, and nobody seems to understand it.
And makes sense.
It was dead on arrival this movie, in the States at least. Domestic total
12 million.
3.6
million.
I know, right?
Did it make up for it in DVD sales or something? Or it's just flopped?
Worldwide?
28 million.
34 million.
Oh, one out.
It pretty much in Europe and the rest of the world.
Wow.
Made its budget back.
Okay.
But like...
why did it kill itself in America? Like?
I don't know. Like it, and it's so weird because 28 Days Later... 28 Days Later is a huge hit.
Yeah.
His next movie, Millions, is like, well, nobody... it's a British movie and kind of small.
Yeah.
Didn't really care. This movie... you know, has the makings of if you released it and marketed it properly, and like the next year, Slumdog Millionaire wins the Oscar. Wins the Oscar, fucking global smash hit, and it's like, why did you do it for this movie?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I understand.
Neither do I. But, Hollywood are full of idiots.
Yes.
Rotten Tomatoes critics.
Critics all agreed.
76.
Oh,
tell you, the old reliable.
That's how I get them back.
Yeah. Audience?
82.
73.
Mm.
Now, new segment.
Okay.
Tell me what the movie is about, Andy.
Explain that plot.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're on a ship called Icarus 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future of some kind.
Yeah.
The sun is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to put a bomb in the sun that will somehow reignite the sun.
Mm-hmm.
A bomb the size of Manhattan. Laughably small in comparison to the sun, but that's a whole other thing.
Yep.
And on the way to the sun, they get a signal from Icarus One, the first mission that went went off road or whatever, or off space, and
off road.
Yeah, and then they realize. Then they make a decision to go to Icarus One to get their payload.
It's a movie, yeah.
Double their chances.
Why would you ever do that? Like,
yeah, and then yeah, shit happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
pretty good.
That's pretty it.
Pretty succinct. Yeah. I'll give it to you. It is a fairly standard plot, easy to follow.
Oh, but you don't. Have you don't got to say that.
Some interesting facts,
please.
In 2005, Danny Boyle was attached to make a movie called 3000 Degrees.
Oh.
A movie about
Thank God it wasn't called that.
This movie?
Yeah.
I think Sunshine is a bad title.
Yeah, I think it's better. It's a bit like generic. Yeah. Like,
I don't know what you call it.
What's that?
Do you call it Icarus? And then it's like, yeah. Call it Icarus, and then it's Project Sunshine is the thing they do. I don't know.
Journey to the Center of the Sun.
Hmm.
You know? We're gonna blow up the sun. You know, like that.
This summer, Cillian Murphy.
Starring David Arquette.
Yeah, but he was gonna make a movie about like a storage fire in Massachusetts, right, called 3000 Degrees, in which six firefighters died. However, producers and actors all turned their nose about it, and they were like, nobody wants to see a movie where a bunch of heroes die.
Yeah.
And I kind of was like, tell that to George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg in The Perfect Storm, which made a lot of money.
They die.
Yeah, but that was maybe 5 years previous, so right, it might have been out of vogue. But shortly after that, he received a script from his old pal, Alex Garland. You may remember him as the man who wrote 28 Days Later. Yeah. And recently, or his post-Danny Boyle career, he has done Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men... Last year's Civil War, very good movie. He's a pretty prolific sci-fi writer. And
okay, and he wrote this?
He wrote this, and he wrote 28 Days Later, and he came back to write 28 Years Later.
Oh,
so they're back together for the first time in a long time.
Ah.
I'm very excited for that film, have to say. And they pitched the script to Fox, but Fox were reluctant to finance the movie after the dismal performance by my man and your boy, Steven Soderbergh and George Clooney, their movie Solaris, which is
It's
pretty similar style.
Oh, Soderbergh and Clooney flopped.
Yeah.
And wow.
It's fucking great. The movie's so good.
Is it?
I think it's on Disney Plus as well, but it did not perform.
Yeah.
It's like a meditative thing about a guy in space who sees his dead wife and, you know, all sorts of trippy shit starts happening. It's really good. However, Fox gave the film to its specialized film unit, Fox Searchlight Pictures.
Of course.
Which operates at a much lower budget scale than what Fox, hence the $23
million. Right.
And it was actually, at the time, deemed to be the biggest budget Fox Searchlight picture of all time. Boyle and Garland worked on the script for a year and then spent the second year preparing for production. And then they filmed for 3 months. And then the third year, editing and completing the visual effects for the movie.
Wow.
Which is cool, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so that was like 2005, 2006, 2007. The movie came out in July 2007, pretty much. Like, I think it's just interesting that it's like, to make something worthwhile...
Needs time.
Yeah, like as opposed to like, there's all these stories the last few years, like why the Marvel CGI looks so shit. They're like, we need it done in 3 months. And like, we can't do that. Like, just do it. And like... Yeah. Overworked.
It's
and
like
the end product look crap.
It's like in The Simpsons where they're like, can you recommend a doctor who will?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hi, everybody. It's like that equivalent.
There really is a Dr. Nick syndrome in Hollywood at times. Like, is that movie, you remember that movie Paul?
Yeah.
Like, really bad movie, but like Paul the Alien looked incredible. And the budget for the movie was $25 million. And they said, they went to a production house, like, how can we make it in this budget? They're like, no problem. We will make it for you. It'll take 2 years. You're not a high priority for us, but we will do it. And they were like, okay. And they went off. And
That's it, really. Yeah. It's time. It's the secret ingredient.
Now, the movie did not do that well.
No, I didn't particularly care for it.
It's not very good.
No.
But, you know, that's more down to the quality of the script, I think, than the CGI.
Yeah,
the
CGI
best thing.
Held up. Yeah.
Boyle stated that it was his most difficult film to make, and it was spiritually... exhausting experience. He also stated that he would never work in sci-fi again. He was like, I've had it. And I don't think he's worked with any of the actors ever again. Like, Like, he doesn't work with Cillian Murphy. He hasn't worked with any of them again. Huh. And now, so, and he's made about 6 movies since then, and none of them have kind of So I think they all might have been a bit sick of each other by the end of it.
Right.
By the sounds of it, he made all the cast live together in order to create like a palpable feeling that they all knew each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. Yeah, that's cool. It's like, you know, you're doing your homework. It's like going to camp. They went to space camp as well. Like, he sent them. I don't know if you heard of the physicist Brian Cox.
I know who
you
he know, is.
Yeah, like that guy who used to be in D-Ream. Remember the band D-Ream?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the bassist in D-Ream.
Brian Cox was? Yeah. No. Things can only get better, D-Ream. Fucking hate that song. So bad.
So played.
Oh, I had the single and everything as a kid. Fucking hate it.
The single. But he was the kind of consultant on it. And like, he sent them on the Vomit Comet to kind of see what it would be like in space and stuff like that.
The
like,
Vomit Comet?
It's the thing you get in to like, they spin you around to adjust you to like what it would be like in space or whatever that like that, and most people end up getting sick on it. It's like that thing in The Simpsons where Homer's face oh, not a crook. But he basically, the way they talk in the film and how they're so matter of fact comes from Brian Cox, and he's like, this is how we talk.
I do like him
as physicist. He's very cool. He's physicist.
I like him,
and he's not lame. Like,
I like him more than Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was going to say Neil deGrasse Tyson is lame.
Yeah,
he's intelligent, but like, he's dangerously close to that loser camp.
Yeah, it's like if you gave a nerd fame, you know what I mean.
He has some awful takes. He has awful takes online, and I'm like, you're very close to the pit with Musk and all those guys there. Mm. Just a little push.
He's orbiting.
He's out of orbit. Is that what you're telling? what do we say? Oh yeah, Danny Boyle was so impressed with Michelle Yeoh's audition that he told her she could play whatever part she wanted, because all the roles in the script, like Alien, were written without gender. And she chose Corazon, and he was kind of, he think he had her earmarked for the captain part, the Senator part, and she was like, I don't think I have the like elder statesman thing for it yet.
Yeah,
I could see her playing it now.
What's her big movie?
Everything Ever All at Once. That's her Oscar winning movie.
Great, good for her.
I mean, she is great.
Yeah,
but like, her big movie is like any of the Japanese, you know, like Hong Kong action movies from the 90s. Like some of the stunts, I don't know if you ever seen some of the stunts she's done in them.
No.
Fucking hell. She's like Jackie Chan.
Right.
Comparable to Jackie Chan. Brilliant. Like on a motorbike, on the back of a train, jumping off, all these fucking insane stunts. She's a legend. Like.
Brilliant.
And the last thing I want to say is the sunlight in the observation room was all practical. No CGI. A bunch of big fucking lights were turned on to be like, you know, because he wanted as little CGI as possible. He wanted to everything, like when Chris Evans is in like the room, the holodeck essentially, and he's in the forest. They went to the forest and shot in the forest, and it was like, but this is in the room, you know, to give it the like palpable, you know, tactile sense of like, this is real. None of it is like,
I didn't notice any CGI in it.
It's very, lot of model work for space and stuff like that. Like, it's all, in my opinion, excellent.
Ooh.
But enough about my opinion. Tell me your opinion, Andy.
Fucking hated it. No, I'm kidding. No, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
I think it's class.
It's a perfect example, I think, of a, it's funny, it's interesting that you said that about what went into it, because it feels like it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I feel like with a different director, this could have easily been shit.
Oh yeah, I thought you were going to say it could have been like
even better. Yeah. No,
I was like, hold on.
No, but
slow roll.
But I think with most other directors, probably
there's been a lot of trash space. Well, where are you on in space movies? How do you feel about
space movies? I like space movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's been a lot of trash space movies over the years, particularly before this is kind of like an inflection point, I think, of like, after this movie you have stuff like Gravity, Interstellar, The Martian, big hit movies that are like crowd pleasing and like win awards and stuff, and they take a lot from this movie. You can see their influence a lot.
Do people say that, like,
this is for me looking at it this time, like, man, this is like kind of really
Because, yeah, you know what, like, it was, sorry to interrupt, but I was like, it was, it seemed like at the start, I'm like, oh, this seems like kind of a cool B-movie sort of thing.
And it is, kind of.
Yeah, but it then by the end, I was like, oh, it's actually much more, it's actually heady. Better than that.
Yeah.
Like, it's got weight to it. It's like, 100%. It's like you pick up something you expect it to be light, and it's heavy. Yeah. I mean, I kind of had the analogy, but it's got weight on it. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
You said it. You just no, but like, if you think of the movies, like
ooh, some quality here.
Something like Mission to Mars or whatever, Red Planet, like the ones in the early 2000s, late 90s, those space movies, like, they stink. And they are lightweight, and they do... they don't look good and they don't feel real. Whereas in this, like he was saying, like, no white spacesuits. You know, he's like, I want it to be gold. I want it to be like a suit you wear when you're going to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And it was like, also, he's like, no, like, 2001, like, in white everywhere inside.
It's like,
it's greens, it's blues, it's like a ship. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're in the hull of a ship. Or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Real feel to it. And then you get the kind of heady, for me anyway, thought of like, maybe we should, like, you know, the sun is dying, let it die, as opposed to like, we need to save everything. Like,
yeah.
You know, we'll get into the...
like, there's a lot of moral questions that are asked in the movie. Like, should we save him? Should we not? Should we kill this person for oxygen? Should we go to Icarus 1 or not go to Icarus 1? Like, all these, like... because it's not like it's just for them. It's like, kind of impacts all of mankind, our decisions,
like,
here.
They have the question, it's like, well, if, like, we kill, when they're like, we need, there's five of us here and we only have oxygen for four.
Yeah.
And like, one of the guys is suicidal.
Yeah.
And they say, Killian Murphy's like, Kappa. It's like, that kind of annoyed me. I forgot how many times I say Kappa.
A lot.
And then Captain. I'm like, just make him the captain, like Kappa the captain. But it was like, he's like, we're weighing one life against the fate of all humanity. He's like,
kill him.
Yeah. You know, like, and I'm like, yeah, of course, that's what I would be like. Yeah, we can't actually say, hold on,
like, ah, no,
you know. And like, even like Rose Byrne is like, you want my vote, you can't have it,
yeah,
but I know what you have to do, go do it.
Yeah,
but I'm not endorsing. I'm not I don't want. I have. This is the last piece of me that I can hang on to. But I know. I know it's the ultimately it's the decision that has to be made. It. But I don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Essentially, what I like about it is the movie. The way it starts, you're kind of just
you're in it
straight away. Like,
because I was thinking, because I looked at it afterwards, I was like, oh, like stuff, certain things I didn't get until reading after. So like
what?
I'm like, oh, it's the year 2057.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. I must have looked away when the year popped up.
I think he says that at the start or something like that.
And it's like, oh, and the earth is freezing.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
He says, there's a voiceover like first 2 minutes.
Okay, I probably just...
he's like, my bomb. Little Oppenheimer himself there, Killian Murphy.
And I like the fact that you just have... you've got Killian Murphy and Chris Evans before they were the guys. Mm. You know what I mean?
I mean, Chris Evans, I think... in this movie, I don't know if this is true or not, I would not be surprised if this is what gets him Captain America.
Mm.
Because he is very moral in the movie.
Yeah.
He is like, well, we absolutely aren't going to go to Icarus 1 because it's, what are we fucking doing? We have a go.
We have a job here.
Yeah, we go and we fucking blow up the sun and we go home. Why the fuck are we going over here? And like, everybody else is like, well, you know, maybe they have another bomb. And like, we kind of really want to see what happened to the guys on Icarus 1.
Just curious.
Yeah.
It was very immediate. Everything was very like, you know.
I love the first 20, the 30 minutes.
Even the sounds are just, you know, like that sort of stuff gone. Where it's just like, you get the sense of like, oh, if I just turn this corner, like, the sun's gonna destroy me.
The Cliff Curtis thing at the start, where he's like, "Oh, this guy is the wild guy," you know. He's like, "Turn the sun up," and she's like, "I can't. You will die." Yeah. He's like, "I can give you 3.1 for 30 seconds." Like, do it.
And then
like, he comes out and like, "Oh, he's the ship psychologist." And like, what I like about it as well is actually, you know, it's like, oh, all these really attractive people on a ship together.
Yeah.
And it's like, they've been there so long, they're like past sex. They're like past like, you know, wanting to have. It's just like, you know, even Killian Murphy and Rose Byrne, they're like, Well, they look like they're kind of romantic, but like she's like, I'm fucking tired.
She Irish?
She's Australian.
Ah.
She's from Bridesmaids and Neighbours and like, you know, another one that went on to be a fucking big star. Like,
Eddie Murphy looked fantastic.
Do you think so?
I love his hair.
I hated the hair.
Got a long hair on.
I was more of an Evans guy, especially when he buzzed it up. I'm like, there's my Buzz Lightyear right there. Not the toy, the space hero that the toy is based on, of course. Watch to. Yeah.
But now I will say, I didn't think it was flawless.
Mm-hmm. Give me your. There's a take floating around.
Yes, there is
in the internet.
My brain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but in your brain, go on.
I had a huge issue with this pinmeister.
Pinbacker. Mr. God.
here's my take, right? I have a huge problem with it. One, the camera is constantly jarring when he's on screen.
Point, Andy.
Right?
That's the
point. No, because... like
that is the point. It's purposeful.
Yeah, for us, but like...
for everybody.
No. It's like they're not seeing it.
It is that. They're like, whoa, I can't look at this guy. He's so fucking scarred up and...
yeah, but you were just...
crusted.
Yeah, but let's be real. Like, he's a human. Right.
Yeah, but like, so he looks so human.
It's like
every time,
it's like even 20 minutes in, and we cut back to a scene with him, and you see Killian Murphy at the door, blah blah blah, and then he's here, like,
yeah,
I'm like, just it's 20 minutes, like, just let me see the fucker. Like,
apparently, he was head to toe makeup.
Was he?
Like in the
chair, need to be.
In the chair for like 6 hours.
Didn't even need to be, and then. So like
that's the director's choice. Now it might not work for you, but that's the whole thing.
It's yeah,
like,
well I knew
it's
that.
It's to put you. I think it's great. It's to put you at constant unease by this fucking weirdo. Like
I think you could have because like then I'm like, all right, is this guy superhuman?
That part I'm not.
You know where he lifts him up with one hand, like by the neck, like you have got to, you know, all this sort of shit.
I will be the last man.
And I was like, and also like it's like. First of all, how did he get on the ship? Right?
He walked onto the ship.
When?
When they went to Icarus 1.
He walked on?
He walked through the lock. This is the stupid... like, when they're in Icarus 1, he's in Icarus 1.
Yeah.
And they go in, they're looking around. And then he, while they're, like, not near the front door, he just walks on and blows the airlock.
Yeah, okay. I figured he was involved in that, but I was like, I don't remember seeing him walking on.
No, you don't see it. But, like, that's what it is.
And then... yeah, I like. I don't know that. Like his thing was a bit. Because I'm like, what is he doing?
A lot of people hate the last 25 minutes of this movie. They're like, this is amazing, and then it's like, oh, it's turned into a slasher movie for the last 20.
Yeah, it's like, like he's a monster. Like it's not like it's like pinbackers on the ship. I repeat, pinbackers. Like, sorry, it's a human. It's like, just sit down. Like, excuse me, can you fucking sit down? You know what I mean?
But he's insane.
We have a mission here. Like,
he's insane.
It's like, we all should die in the sun. Like, should we? Yeah. Listen, we've got a mission here. Maybe, so if you don't mind, we're going to go ahead.
Maybe we should.
Let's whatever about this freak. Yeah. He's a human. Just like the other five humans that are on.
I get you. Because you know like he gets cut a couple.
He's not a monster.
He gets cut a couple of times in it and kind of just like. like shrugs it off.
Yeah. And you know what I love shit like, you know, where it's like, I thought we had enough oxygen for four people.
Andy,
it's like that, affirmative or whatever.
That is so good.
I love it. And it's like,
he's like, you are going to die. He's like, sorry, you know, Trey's dead. He's like, that's right. It's like, you four, one other. It's like, who's the fifth member? It's like, unknown.
I was like, where
is he? And it's just like cuts to him like brrr, in the observation.
Yeah, so like that bugged me. His whole thing bugged me. Yeah, they made him too powerful. He's a fucking human like the rest of them. You know what I mean?
But like, let's go back.
But he's somehow strong enough. He's been there for years or whatever it was. But he's so strong that he can fucking.
He's had 7 years of food.
Is he invisible as well? Like, oh, just nah.
He's not invisible.
That was the part that I was. And it didn't ruin it for me, but I was like, all right,
I get it.
You know,
I think like if the first 2-3 quarters of the movie is so strong,
yeah,
for me, that like it doesn't bum me out or anything like that. But it's probably my least favorite part of it. Like. If we go back to like the set pieces beforehand, where the idea was, you know, the guy, Jane Fonda's son in real life is that guy Harvey.
Who's that?
You know, I'm the captain.
Oh yeah, this fucking loser.
He's like, he hears, and I love the music, and I love the sound in this movie. Like when they hear that distress, like,
yeah,
it's like a whale call or something like that. I was like, oh, it sounds so good. Then they decide, okay, we're gonna go to Icarus One. Like Cillian Murphy decides. Yeah, it's not a vote or anything like that. The captain gives it to him, and he's like, we should get the second bomb just in case.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. That's the fatal flaw in the movie. But it's a movie. Right? They go and do it. Chris Evans isn't happy.
Yeah.
But when they rechart their course, poor Benedict Wong, he forgot to mess. Yeah. He fucked up. He forgot to do the shields.
Yeah.
So then they have to
they
have to do the spacewalk. And I love how petty Chris Evans is. Like your man Trey, like, I volunteer. He's like, no, I volunteer. Okay. I volunteer Kappa. And like Kappa's like, okay. So like him and the captain go out. Yeah. And then, you know, all the fucking oxygen like goes on fire. The oxygen garden goes on fire because of like a solar flare from it. Fucking great.
Plus I like all of Cillian Murphy's noises in the suit. Like,
And your man like the captain. You remember Dogun from Lost season 6?
I can't say that I do.
Yeah, you do, yeah. You remember. You remember.
You know. I'm real.
Yeah. He's Dogun. Him, like, just, I thought that's so cool, like, sucking the water while he's fixing it. Sends. But I love how it's like, Kappa, you have to go. You're the only one. Yeah. Whatever happens here, you're the only one that can do the bomb.
Yeah.
So you have to go. I will die out here. And then like Cliff Curtis is like, because he's like a junkie for the sun at this point. Like,
yeah.
Tell me what you see.
Yeah,
what
do you
see out there, man? And he's like, So now they have to go to Icarus One to see what's there and see. And they get there and like, I don't know if you picked up on it, but like every time the light went on something, it was like a flicker of so fucking good.
I like
good.
That. I have to rewind that. I was like, oh, what's that?
So fucking good how that looked. And like, you see, it's actually the picture.
Yeah.
Because they had their own picture, Christmas or whatever. But when, you know, the hatch gets blown and like they're already like putting the fucking suit. I love this bit. When he's putting the suit on like Kappa and like he's like, hey, Harvey's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And he's like, we're sending Kappa back. We're blown or whatever. Like what? He's like, I'm the captain. He's like, you're a comms operator with a ship with no comms. Like, you're useless. And he's like, well, look, when I get over there, he's like, what, you'll shuttle back with more suits? He's like, he's going. He's the only one. I love how like Chris Evans hates Kappa, essentially, has such disdain from, but he's like, no, this is the mission.
Yeah, he's all about the mission.
Yeah, and it's like, that's fucking great. That's Captain America. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
the captain was such a fucking, or the backup captain after the first
time. Like, I'm the captain.
I'm the captain.
The mission needs a captain. And like, sure, they're not even listening.
Someone's going
to
have to stay back. It's like, you're thinking of me. Something like that.
Like, well, because it's me. And like, your man is like, no.
Get it together.
But like, Cliff Curtis at this point is like, really kind of want to see that sun that they all, the other crew died in. Yeah. I'll stay. I'll look after it. Don't worry about it. Look, I'll be the hero. I'll stay. Yeah. And he's like, now to fucking put on my shades and crank up the Floyd. Like,
I like, speaking of, like, I was surprised by the amount of deaths. Because when your one is like, finds that little thing.
So good. And so I'm
like,
sad.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, she's found life.
A baby.
And then just like, in the back, I was like, oh, I was not expecting that.
Fucking pinbacker. Ruin everything.
And then with
the Chris Evans death.
Yeah. I didn't cop at first that he was in freezing.
Well, they do a great thing at the start because he's like fixing something and he drops his wrench and he's like, oh. And then it's like, you gotta fucking go in. Three times, oh man, and like
to say, and then like he's just like, so, like that was really
it.
Good.
Do it,
it looked brilliant.
And then, like, the Cillian Murphy stuck in the airlock. How do I get out? Just fucking blow it, man.
Yeah, you know,
just so, just like, fucking blow it.
But it was actually like, I thought, like, even, because it's not that it was slow to start, but like
it just,
it ramps right up the last half hour.
I mean, it's an hour 47. Yeah. It's a really nice time.
Very nice time. You know? I mean, like, if I may say.
And like, I
like, watched it in like four goes, but it's
four
still
goes.
Yeah. But still, it was very nice. I was enjoying
TikTok generation, your TikTok brain you have going
on. Like. And I was only saying to Kerry, I was like, because I didn't watch that with her. And I was like,
you would like this, Kerry.
That's what I said. Yeah. I was like, all of these, the ones I watch without her, are the ones that she'd actually like. And I think, like, I don't know why, but the name, like, when I hear a Danny Boyle movie.
What are your feelings on Danny Boyle?
I think I like him, but I, do you know what? I feel like his name, Danny Boyle, is so like a little snot boy we would have gone to school with or something that I always dismiss.
What an excellent filmmaker.
Yeah.
Is. Like,
Danny Boyle is too unglamorous, but like that's great.
Yeah, his first two are like Shallow Grave and Trainspotting, and they're both.
Oh, he did Trainspotting.
Yeah, both fucking incredible.
Yeah,
and then like did A Life Less Ordinary, not very good, and then he did 28 Days Later, and you're like, oh, he's fucking back, and then Millions, and then this, and then his next one is like Slumdog Millionaire. Then it's like 127 Hours, another big Oscar movie. Steve Jobs, which I'll find a way for us to cover it one time because it's fucking incredible.
The one with Ashton Kutcher or Fassbender?
Fassbender. The other one's just called Jobs.
All right. Yeah.
Well, the one with Fassbender, it's like an action movie with talking.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. But one of them is like one of the action players is Jeff Daniels.
Okay.
And Seth Rogen is in it, actually. Kate Winslet.
Okay.
Like he plays, Rogan's really good as Wozniak. But like, he has this run of like 6 years of like, he's an A-list. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, a Danny Boyle movie is going to be up for Oscars. It's going to make a lot of money. And then it was kind of just like he had to make T2 to kind of get something made. Trainspotting. T2 Trainspotting.
Okay.
And then then it was like, he couldn't get a movie made. He was doing like TV and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like he made that Beatles movie, that Yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Because it was like he was going to do Bond and he wanted to do too many of his own ideas for Bond and they were like, no, sorry.
Oh yeah, you were saying, yeah.
So he ended up fucking Richard Curtis like, hey, I need a director for my Beatles movie. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll make a movie, of course.
Very.
And it kind of stinks.
Danny Boyle.
And really, it's a director for Hire Job. And there's certain bits in it where you're like, that looks good. That's really good. But the story is shite. Like,
yeah. It's ironic because in that movie,
should be.
That could have been any half decent director could have taken that. Whereas I feel with this movie, like
they made a movie called Life. Do you remember that movie with Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh yeah,
and it's like they're on a spaceship and an alien comes in, and it's like
I saw that actually.
It's crap, and it's like that's the kind of like.
It
shitty,
was very much
shitty,
what are they doing here?
Yeah. Shitty version of this, like you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas this, I think this is like tippy top.
This has
sci-fi.
Substance.
Yeah, yeah.
You
it
know
really
what I mean?
Does.
I would highly recommend if you want to see it after all these spoilers. Well, you would have checked it out obviously before. Listen to this.
Well, put something up maybe on the socials. Say, yeah, we're watching it on Disney.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it.
Let's do our awards. Ed Harris Award for Excellence in Acting.
Your
boy Pinbacker.
Never. I would give it to.
Should have known when I mentioned Mark Strong. Like he doesn't deserve mention.
Is that him?
That's him. Yeah,
linebacker.
He is pinbacker.
I think maybe Chris Evans.
I'm going Evans.
Yeah,
I think Evans.
So.
Evans is
he
so
was good.
He's so good in it. Like, and even the cheesy thing of like, here, this is on your hands.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Blood. I'm like, it is cheesy, but it works.
Yeah,
he sells
I've seen
it.
That character before. This hot under the collar. But like he,
he's right. He's
yeah,
all, and he always is like
so it's
the
not
mission
like over. It's not like Mark Wahlberg in The Departed or something.
Wait, yeah, well, apples and oranges,
yeah,
my
well,
friend.
I'm just saying.
No, but like he's right. He's always like whatever it is, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
it's not like fuck you, Kappa. You're a piece of shit.
He's all
and
morals.
You deserve to be off the ship. It's like no, we need you. And I know we can't do it, but I don't like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
damn it, do I respect you?
Yeah. Daniel Day Lewis, Peachtree Dance Award for best line reading. I am God.
I can't think of a line.
It's your homework. You're supposed to be doing this.
I mean, watching it is the homework. You know what I mean?
Part one of the homework.
I fucked up.
That's why
I fucked up.
That line reading by Benedict Wong is so funny. I was like, oh, I had everything. Like,
so human.
Yeah, it is so human. It's like one teeny tiny mistake that has doomed all of humanity. Yeah.
I checked them out. Ones
and zeros and, you know, like.
That was good.
It's so good.
If you're asking me.
Rating, please, yes.
I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
All right.
So I think that's pretty strong.
I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Oh, skating.
Yeah. Well, if it's not a 10, it goes in the trash. I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's possibly my favorite one of 2007 movies.
Of three.
So we did Ocean's 13. We did
Gone Baby Gone.
And Gone Baby Gone. Yeah, this would be.
So Gone Baby Gone is sitting on the bottom of your pile for 2007.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Mm. You did like it.
Did I?
You liked it, but not enough.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. It was fun. It wasn't fun.
It's so fucking good.
This was fun, but in a serious way.
Mm. Serious fun.
So yeah,
and Andy Cantwell, like the tagline, serious fun. Andy Cantwell. I did not say that. That was Terry. So next week, instead of Hot Rod.
Well, not next week. The week
after. Yeah, whatever. Next episode.
Yeah, so we're not doing Hot Rod then.
We're pivoting.
Great.
We're going to do Ratatouille instead.
Great.
Because you've never seen it. I didn't put it on because I assumed
you've
watched it. Well, that's one to watch with Joni. And it's,
yeah, and she loves rats. So, an easy sell. She's all about rats. So I won't have to worry about that.
There's your line reading right there.
So, folks, thanks so much for the support. Mm-hmm. We love you.
Big L from me behind the paywall. I mentioned it. We're going to put it up. I mentioned it on the main feed. Next poll is going to be actors. I've given Andy a choice. Val Kilmer is going on there. And I'm going to say...
I haven't gotten a choice. Oh, right.
I'm giving you a choice. So one of the four earmarked is Andy's pick. Val Kilmer is going on there. The suggestions are welcome from the patrons.
Mm-hmm.
If you put somebody on there that tickles my fancy, they could. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but they could make the four if there's a good suggestion and the reasoning behind it.
I think I know what mine's gonna be.
It has to, can I just say, it has to be a movie star. It can't be like,
no,
yeah, great, but it can't be like, I love Timothy Olyphant, but like, we're doing a Timothy Olyphant. It's like,
what
movie is Timothy? It's like The Crazies.
Only watched it last month. The Crazies.
It's okay. You had on your like top five horror movies.
Honestly, my answer for any of these top fives, I listen back and I'm like, I literally listen back 2 days later. I'm like, well, my answers will be totally different today.
Who is this guy?
Smashing Pumpkins. That's great. It's
yeah, exactly. You know,
whatever.
All right. Thanks, folks.
We love you.
Love you. See you next week.
Goodbye.
2 weeks. Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out DC, but I changed my way. It'll take time, I know it. We'll be right back.
slowly.